sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
Whoa. What are you?
That's my Fiona Doroff doing.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, is that one of the screams from Exuma? Or I was confused about your Korean scream.
Sweet fish.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Exuma.
Glutinous rice.
I don't know what that means. John will give us a blunt 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we're going to do a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, checking out Chucky Season 2, Episode 4, Death on Denial. And I'll just turn it over to you, John. This is a Tiffany-centric episode, so I did not enjoy it, so I'll let you take the lead, and then I will just answer some emails. Why you do that?
Well, I don't know. Quick things to note, Kyle's back.
Kyle's back, yes.
That very briefly happens at the end.
Not dead.
We get our Glenda, played by the same actor, Lachlan Watson. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, or I guess since she's supposed to be Jennifer Tilly, is being, I guess it's an intervention. I think it was intended to be an intervention, but all of her friends are shitty people and they're all played by actual actors playing themselves, which is kind of funny.
From the movie Bound, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And Jennifer Tilly's younger sister, what's her name?
Meg Tilly. Meg Tilly.
Really funny. Meg has a moment where she's like, you know, I actually got an Oscar nomination before her doing this and that. Just funny because she's been around a lot longer in the scene than I think Jennifer Tilly has, even though she's younger. Like, she was in The Big Chill.
Oh. I've seen Psycho 2. That's good. That's good stuff. Oh, I know who this is. I had never put together they were related. I've seen Agnes of God. Oh, my God. I actually recognize her.
Now, do you like the Jennifer Tilly story?
Here's what I'll say. I think that it's... Look, I just don't like any of this. It's fine. I get it. It's supposed to be fun. It's referential. And it's making fun of a lot of stuff. But I just am not here for it. I just want to watch... the main story. To me, this is B-line stuff. This, I'm more interested, honestly, in the A story, and for them to take a whole episode off from it makes me believe, like, that there's not enough story for the A plot.
Well, I think they're switching back and forth, so they're both important, right? And I think it's just our knowledge of the Chucky films is just not there. I think it, you know, Jennifer Tilly becomes very important.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like a flip-flop storyline.
I think don't you find that quite indulgent? Like, he made these series of movies that were not the most popular in the series. If anybody says Chucky, they probably have most of them seen maybe the first one, maybe Bride of Chucky, but to
Child's Play,
right? Yeah, excuse me. And but for them to like actively reference Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, right? Is that the other one? I mean, these movies like weren't as popular or like were probably like direct to DVD type of movies or like direct or like, you know.
To me, like, I understand where you're coming from, but to me, this is kind of like when I was watching Ash versus Evil Dead, you know, it's the TV series made for the Child's Play fanatics. Like, you know, and Ash versus Evil Dead was made for, you know, obviously the Evil Dead freaks, the Deadheads. That's what we're called. We coined the term. We're keeping it.
Okay.
We listen to Fish, not the Grateful
but,
Dead.
But I'll say this. I would argue that Evil Dead, at least in like, even without the knowledge of who Ash was, they at least tried to do an introductory episode so you can kind of more or less understand the character before they started their own like adventure. You know what I mean? The Ash character specifically, if I remember correctly, the pilot episode was like, they kind of did the due diligence of trying to like make that character understandable. But yeah. I had no idea who Glenn and Glenda was. No idea. Previously on Chucky, and they kind of show the movie, and they kind of have like a scene that's out of context that leads into this, but it's still, I still didn't know, or they didn't even explicitly say in this episode who Glenn and Glenda are. And it's supposed to be a mystery. As to, they don't know why they are the way they are. They're just like they're the kids of Jennifer Tilly, right? So
no, they're the kids of Tiffany and Chucky, the dolls,
right? But then from what I read and see the Chucky, Chucky kills Tiffany, Glenda kills Chucky. Tiffany goes into Jennifer Tilly, the actress's body, has Glenn and Glenda, the kids, somehow. As little babies, yeah.
Okay.
So that's, but I had to read that online. That's not something that was like explicitly said in the show. So I had to do my work for it. So it's kind of like, you're totally right. They really are just like Chucky, so specifically like.
I didn't know that about them becoming women. I just chalked it up to we've already been involved with, like, they've been able to put their souls in different things. So I just assumed they put it in some twins.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that I assumed. But the whole Glenna and Glenda thing, I mean, I knew who the character was.
Right.
And it was like a singular character, it wasn't two people.
Mm-hmm. I think what I'm harping on is that like they could have just explained that. I would have been on board for it. I like the show. I think it's funny, and I like that it's, you know, big and they have a deep mythology. They didn't really clue you in on these things. So
you're gonna tell me that you're gonna sit here?
I'm sitting down. Yeah,
like plain faced stoic. Tell me that you didn't enjoy Gina Gershon trying to assault finger Jennifer Tilly, and then immediately afterwards, Joey Pants takes off his pants.
Yeah.
to try to assault Jennifer Tilly also. And then Gina Gershon walks in and goes, Joey, I guess no pants. And I was like, zinger.
I mean, yeah, it's funny. But yeah. What does it all mean to the context of the TV show? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess I get harped on those things. Like,
so I mean, this one seems like it's going to be super important now, right? Because they are stealing Nika, fully aware that Chucky's in there.
Yes, and Kyle has Nika now.
And I couldn't figure out. So this is like a murder mystery episode, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun.
That was fun.
So
yeah,
you know, everybody at home, if you enjoy like Glass Onion, or you know,
whoa, let's not say it's at that level. Of right, let's scale it back.
Sorry, Clue.
Whoa! Let's sacred ground.
Which, by the way, as of you know, when you listen to this episode, R.I.P. Martin Mull. I was actually very sad when I heard
Martin Mull. Yeah, that's really sad. Yeah, he did pass away really this week. Yeah, this weekend actually. But he's turning it over in his grave now, John. You compared.
I know. Just like, oh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, I don't know. I can't do it.
That's not bad. It's a good try. Yeah.
I always point out certain actors whenever I'm watching movies with my partner now, and she's always like, "I don't know who these people are." I'm like, "I know." I'm sorry. It's like I'm like showing her Jingle All the Way, and Martin Wall plays the disc jockey that really? Has like the, yeah. the voucher for the doll yeah. and doesn't actually have the doll, and that's what the joke is. And it's just really, it was like Martin Wall.
Somehow really crazy people in that scenario.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's like, as I was telling you, I was watching the movie Thelma, and when they're in a retirement home, there's one person's room that they keep passing, and it's Ruben Abassa, who is famous for being on I Think You Should Leave at this point in his career.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the sketch where he's like, there's like, oh, we need like new car ideas. Anybody got anything? He's like, I got one. A car where the wheel doesn't fly off while you're driving. He's like, what? You want a car that doesn't have a wheel that flies off? He's like, yeah. Okay, I'll note that down.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so me just pointing out people like that, and people are like, I don't know who the fuck.
Yeah.
Which is how you feel about Chucky.
No. I just don't care about all of this, like, indulgent mythology that he's, like, forcing into the show. It just feels forced. I guess I'm okay with the mythology part of it, because, you know, you actually brought up a great example, Ash versus Evil Dead or whatever, like that specific TV show. But I think that only, like, in some ways for me, makes this look a little more clumsy, the way they try to fit into the other mythology and all the stuff, because I feel like Ash vs. Evil did a good job of like explaining kind of baseline stuff you've never seen the movies, and then adding upon it by bringing in new characters, new scenarios and stuff. So
I guess also, to be kind of more fair about it, they decided to do Ash vs. Evil Dead. When did Army of Darkness come out?
1990? Oh fuck, yeah, I don't know. 2005? I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody's going to know that.
It came out in 1992.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ash vs. Evil Dead came out, what, like...
fucking 2022 or something.
2015. Yeah. So,
like, yeah.
You know. Some time has passed and Bruce Campbell had aged.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did a good job of, well, he's not a doll, so they got to just, hey, now it's the future. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Right. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
He's old. He's just an old raunchy dude.
Yeah, but they also tried to bring in like new characters, right, to kind of take the mantle from, or at least help them, you know what I mean, in the show and stuff like that, so they can spin those characters off. This one, I don't know. And
yeah, that's why we got Glenda. Glenda's the new...
yeah.
I couldn't tell if Glenda was a bad person or not. I didn't understand. There's a big reveal of like, oh, who killed everybody?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in my head, I was like, I'm pretty sure it was Glenn or Glenda, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Glenda. Which, by the way, there's a part where they are picking the lock and they take off their earrings and they're like... Auntie Gina gave them to me. I'm like, that's so funny. And Auntie Gina also gave her the gun. And
yeah.
So, like, everybody's dead at the end of the episode except for Meg Tilly, right? I forgot who the other actress was.
Yes. The blonde girl, right? Sutton Strackle. That's her name.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. No idea who she is. She's a Real House of Beverly Hills. Okay, I it seemed about right.
All right, so we're not jerks for not knowing.
Yeah,
who that is.
We don't watch those shows, so we're not gonna know who they are. Yeah, and explain to me again, since we're on this part of the thing, why does Jennifer Tilly want to keep Nika so bad?
I think she's just in love with her for whatever reason. And I think this is like they really drove home that she was having a relationship with Gina Gershon and Joya Pants.
Mm-hmm.
I think also what one of the siblings references that, I think it was probably Glenda, like, oh, mom was with Auntie Gina? That's awesome, or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But that dude that played the butler, who I thought was really funny, even though he's just being a jerk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, he sucked at, like, how do I put this? He's definitely making fun of a very close-minded group of individuals.
Yeah.
He was in Land of the Dead.
Oh, cool.
Bam. Super famous. Mm-hmm.
Love Land of the Dead. Great movie.
But yeah, I guess what else? You weren't excited about... This is me just trying to get excited about this episode. You weren't excited about... who was the wrestler that came out? Liv Morgan?
Oh, yeah. She has a little bit at the end where they set the episode up like Chucky's like on a sitcom, late night show, maybe, kind of. Because he like interviews the wrestler Liv Morgan, right?
In a really funny setup. It's like a very sitcom-y looking living room, right?
Right.
Like wholesome looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
No, it was good. It was funny. Like there's parts of it, like, I guess, is like, I understand it. I enjoy it. It's fine. I get it. I just think, like, if I'm being... you know, critical or like watching the show, a lot of this kind of like, I don't enjoy the way they've put all of their mythology, meaning the other movies, into this series. I don't like the way they've kind of like folded them in. I think they've done it very like clumsily and like with not a lot of explanation. So I just feel like that part is kind of like the thing I don't like about the show. And this whole episode was about it. So yes, I am being a little like exaggerated in my dislike of it, but can do recognize that it was a funny episode. It's a funny, self-contained episode. There's good stuff here, but it's just, I don't really see a point to like it yet to the whole season.
I think, yeah, I feel like it was to really introduce Glenda being another serial killer.
Mm. Yeah.
And obviously Glenn is the more sensitive sibling.
Right.
That's why at the end, so when you find out Glenda was the person that was killing everybody, and then was also the person that helped Kyle was in on this. I guess I'm gonna find out next episode. I was trying to understand if that was just by chance, but it did not look like by chance, because it rolled up in a van that was wheelchair accessible.
Yes,
right. Like that can't be by chance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think next episode they'll probably like, or whenever they decide, they'll probably just let us know how Kyle became a part of that whole thing.
Right, because it seemed like only Glenn knew that Nika could also be Chucky, right? And Glenda was unaware, or maybe it was vice versa.
So possibly for speculating that Glenda,
I think, was a person that knew first.
Yeah, right? They are in on helping whoever take down Chucky.
Right?
Yeah.
It did feel like they were intentionally trying to help Chucky escape, but then they would have been in charge of having the gun loaded, and they purposely had the gun unloaded.
That kind of makes sense, because they were, you can tell that.
But they still killed Joey Pants and Jim.
Yeah. yeah, no, I think that's correct. I think that's how I would have read it as well, that they're in on it. Oh, okay. And that they seem to be wanting to take down Chucky too. So working with Kyle makes sense. Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, Chucky doesn't get to kill anybody in this episode. Or does he? Right? Because they cut back to Liv Morgan.
Oh, yeah. He's like...
And he's explaining, like, well, you know, I'm only allowed at a certain amount of F-bombs. And I think it was supposed to be, like, 8. And he said, and I know you really want to see me basically kill somebody. Right. And how about you, Liv? And Liv Morgan's like, what? What about me? And then they have a flashback to this interview Liv Morgan had, which I'm assuming was real, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Right. No, like, I would just love to be murdered by Chucky. It's like, well, you get your wish, whatever, and start stabbing her, saying, fuck, 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 fuck. And he says more than eight fucks, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, cuts to almost black, and he's still saying fuck. And it's really funny.
Yeah, that part was fun. Yeah. And they usually tend to do that, like, you know, what is it called? Breaking the fourth wall, talking to the audience at the end of the seasons and stuff. So something that's...
Yeah, so it's interesting.
Kind of flowed through the rest of the show. But it's never been used so early before, this fourth wall breaking and stuff. So, all right. Hopefully we're back on track next episode. Yeah.
But Tiffany is like fucking devastated right now.
Yeah. Yeah. She was very upset. So.
I think they're setting up that she's starting to lose it too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Outside of her already being a homicidal maniac, she's starting to lose it because she like kept herself in that house for a year because of Nika. Mm. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Fascinating show.
Alrighty.
Full of celebrities young people don't know, and just kidding.
Everybody knows Joey Pants.
Joey Pants, Gina Gershon, Meg Tilly.
Meg Tilly. That's right. She is in Agnes the God. I remember her completely now. Wow, that blew my brain.
I legit looked at her and I was like, she looks real familiar. And then I chalked it up to being like, oh, she's supposed to be Jennifer Tilly's sister.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking like, did they do another deep fake thing where it's like Fiona Dorff was doing? Was
yeah.
Like, oh no, that's a real person.
Yeah.
Because we all know actors aren't real people.
Nope. Alrighty.
All right.
On that note, let's move over to our main review of Exhuma. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny. Five words. Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. No, give it more flair. We're trying to get canceled here.
Nope, I ain't doing that. No, thank you.
I almost told everybody how this movie is primarily just Korean people and then maybe like one or two Japanese people. You know, off air we have our fun. It's not racist. If Chucky's not racist, if Chucky's not homophobic, that's something we haven't brought up, how Chucky's very... He is arguably politically not a bad person. I mean, I guess depending on how you look at
it. He's always been a people person. Very relatable guy.
Like whenever he talks about his kids, he always calls them they or them because that's their preferred nomenclatures.
Yeah.
All right. For Exhuma, coming in at number one. No, I'll start with three. Number three. Sweet fish is not Swedish.
Yeah.
Forgive our ignorance, all of our Korean friends that are listening. I just like, what the fuck is sweet fish? I never bothered to look it up either. I fucked up.
Oh,
But it seems like an actual whole fish. I thought it was going to be a prepared dish or
That's
something.
That's what I gathered, because isn't that what they fed him?
Yeah, and he just started munching.
Yeah, can't blame him.
Coming in at number two for Exhuma, they should have called Cemetery Man.
Yeah.
And coming in at number one for Exhuma, Old Boy still got it.
Oh yeah. One of the real surprises, seeing Old Boy, the actor.
It's real funny because I thought that guy was what his current age is now in Old Boy.
Oh yeah.
And now that he's older, I'm like, oh,
it's an old boy.
I thought he was already that old to begin with. He's just,
yeah,
like, I think when he did Old Boy, he was like in his 40s or something.
No, yeah, sure. How old is he now? Are we doing math?
90 million.
Math's hard. Is that in yen? No, let's see. 1962. He's old.
He's old. But not terribly old.
62. So yeah, that kind of tracks. He was 50. He was late 40s? Right? Maybe about 20 years. Minus 20 years here. I don't remember when that movie was exactly released. So he was, yeah, 40s. Early to mid 40s.
So I'm very fascinated by people's ages, especially like actors that I grew up watching. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind that Martin Short was born in 1950.
Oh.
Like, I knew he was older, but, you know, he was always like the younger guy of the group. But I guess he wasn't actually that much younger.
It's just his
short.
Funny, short kind of looking. You know, he's always looked young. He never looked.
Yeah. Like when he did that movie, Clifford. Mm-hmm. Remember mm-hmm. that movie?
Yeah, of course.
He was already 40-something.
Yeah, that checks. Yep.
I was like, what the fuck?
So he's 70? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, right.
I don't know. How many years is that in Korea? We should probably...
Yeah, he's like 73?
Oh, yeah.
73.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, I was watching Thelma and Malcolm McDowell comes on. I'm like, oh, he's still alive. How old is he? He's 80.
Tracks.
Look great. Nah. He looks like he was like in his 50s. Like,
no. Okay. No, he's starting to look old.
I mean, in Thelma, he looked great. That's what I'm saying. Like, he was walking around doing stuff. I was like, man, he looks fucking great. Mm. And that's our because our ignorance with the culture and Korean feng shui and Japanese colonial times and stuff like that. I was like, oh man, I am not educated enough in any of these matters to really catch all these things.
And yeah, I agree, but I still feel like the movie. I really liked the movie, obviously, right?
I thought it was an excellent yes. film. I just felt. Like, I enjoyed the movie, but I felt like I was missing a lot. Like, I felt kind of dumb. I was like, oh, man, I don't know what this is. Like, and even if I rewound it, I was like, I think I just need to look up what this is. And then I ended up having to do that a lot. I was like, this is so interesting, but it's a lot of information to retain.
Yeah, and I feel like they did. I think this. I think you're 100% right about that. I think they did a great job of putting you in this particular world or job or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it does. I think it's almost purposely. I don't think most people know about this stuff. I think there is a sense people kind of, if you're from, you know, Korea, you probably have more of a knowledge of it, you know, than we do as, you know, ignorant Americans. So, but I still was, even though I didn't understand every detail of it, I was like enraptured in like the movie because the way they did everything felt, it's like an extremely well-crafted, ambitious horror movie. And it definitely feels like, it definitely has like a pace and a mood and it has like this momentum and like there's like, and there's a lot of surprises also in this movie that, like, I was like, I was gasping. I was like, oh my God, that's fucking terrifying.
It did strike me a little, it felt video game arc story wise, sort of a little
bit. Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, you get like the first bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's not even the real bad guy.
Yeah.
And then things keep happening and you got to find the clues. And I mean, luckily we had old boy.
Well, I'll get into spoilers, but they do a really cool thing that I thought was video game-ish as well that I saw. But we can talk about that specifically in spoilers.
Let's start off with
spoilers.
I'll leave this one to you because you let me
take the lead.
I'll let you take the lead on who are these characters, what are their names?
Okay,
phonetically correct, please.
Well, I would say they're like I'm not gonna do that, but I will go on to explain there. They're like basically like I don't know, how would you describe them? Ghostbusters, basically. Like they deal with the dead. The rituals of the dead. They're like shamans. They have the coolest name.
Yeah.
Like our main character has the coolest job title, Geomancer, which I thought, oh my God, that. Yes.
which apparently that's a real job where people relocate dead bodies in Korea, which isn't a normal thing, I guess.
Right. That's a cool sounding job. So I really was like enticed by it.
But were you expecting him to be like, oh, he's going to have like the powers of Geodude from Pokemon?
I wish I knew more about Pokemon.
Did you think he was going to be an earthbender?
He kind of was. He was eating dirt all the time. That's
true. Yeah, yeah. That's
probably as close as we got. But yeah, I like that part of it where it immediately puts you like in an talking about a job we probably don't normally know a lot about, right? And then they do a really good job of distilling the like what their job entails. Like there's the theme. I don't know, were they a couple or were they brother and sister? Because there's like
I don't think there was any sort of
just
relationship
friends
like that. I think she's like probably what, you know, the top percentage of people that have that job. And she kind of briefly explains that before he was called on by the spirits reluctantly, he was just some kid or whatever. So it's just an assistant that she brought on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's what I wanted to make clear. Cause I kind of thought maybe there was like a sibling relationship, but there wasn't. It's just like he was, I think they explained like he's, was touched with the gift of, seeing ghosts or something like along those lines. So
I was going to use that expression, yeah, like, oh, he was touched, but I forgot that I kept using that expression for the First Omen with the way people use that phrase in like the 70s or like,
right.
Oh, this child's been touched.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you mean they have a neurological disorder and it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's just a poor explanation on my part, but essentially they're like people who can commune with the dead and stuff like that, because he has that ability. She seems to be more, lack of a better word, more powerful or knows more about all of this. She kind of is like the lead in this little partnership, because they yes, kind of go to America, find
LA, baby.
Yeah, 101, baby. I saw that. Yeah, it's funny.
I actually thought, I was like, is the whole movie going to take place in LA? And I was like, oh, okay, they're
back. Yeah, exactly. They go back to Korea and stuff like that. So, yeah, me too.
Like, oh, what's your American name? She's like, oh, it's Maxine. Like,
oh, well, how many X's? Tell me how many X's.
Two.
Ah, guess that's okay. But yeah, I thought that like, in spite of there being like this like folk horror aspect to it, you know what I mean? Like, I like that they still, it's still, even though like that part of it was kind of like you're saying, like I kind of want more information about it, because it's really cool, it's interesting, but I want like more information. But I think they did a really good job of just like selling you on whatever it is that they were trying to convey. Plus, I feel like they made it, they simplified it in a way that kind of makes sense. So you're never really like truly lost in the movie. So,
yeah. Because honestly, I was very surprised by, I thought this was going to be like a possession style movie. I purposely didn't look at a trailer or anything like
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. Ditto.
So the things that pop out towards the end, I was like, this is fucking,
this
cool.
Took a turn. Yeah. Yeah. Same. I only heard, like, or read a review, and I didn't see any trailers in it. So, going in really cold on what this movie was. So, I'm pleasantly surprised by it. I really liked also the plot of it gets really, like, there's like this whole other, what we think is the main plot, the first hour of this movie, what we think the main plot is that there's essentially, like, they are brought together to help a family that all their firstborn children are cursed, or they get sick, or they die, yes, and stuff like that. But then there's, of course, something deeper to that that is really specifically like a Korean folklore horror based that, yeah, unravels as there's more to the plot and stuff like that. So that surprised me, because I thought we were specifically only going to deal with this first part.
Oh, shit. Technically, am I wrong in I guess it's going to be like a spoiler. Are the Japanese the bad guys? Technically?
I feel like from without having to explain the Korean Japanese conflict,
the history, is it? Are all the bad guys Japanese?
I think.
Kinda, right?
Yes. And I think this is from the point of view, specifically from a Korean point of view. What I mean? So that's kind of like. And it's kind of dispelled like immediately from the first shot, right? Because there's the they're on a plane, our two protagonists or whatever, the male and the female characters, and they ask the stewardess asks like starts mentions that like, oh, are you Chinese or something? And he's like, no, I'm Korean. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
oh, to her, yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, homeboy looked like. I think they did a good job of making it look like he was like a edgy dude because it looked like he had a bunch of tattoos, which he does, but then they're important later.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he just puts his headphones on like, nah, I'm not paying attention to this
shit. Yeah. And I think that's a great way to introduce that this is a Korean point of view film by her saying that. It's like, this is from our point of view. This is our history. This is how we see the rest of our culture and stuff like that. So really cool, really good.
I just want to give a fair warning. I believe this is a fair warning. This movie is, how long is it, like 2.5 hours long?
It's two hours and 15 minutes or so. Yeah,
15 minutes. It is, you know, a rather long film that you really do, you're reading a movie.
So yes,
because a lot is being talked about all the time, so just be warned, you're going to be reading most of this movie,
right? Yeah. And also they also about that they like broke up the narrative in chapters, which I thought was fun. That was really cool, like, so you get an idea of what was possibly what could happen or into the next scene, almost like a book, just like kind of like a.
They also do this fun thing, and I'm guessing it was specifically just for Americans, where if you're not paying attention for a second, they break out into actual English for a little bit here and there. And then, you know, as an ignorant American, you can be like, haha, I knew I would catch on to the Korean language. But no, they're just speaking English for a hot second.
Yeah, I thought there was I think that they did a good job of like got my notes that they would it be a spoiler if we talk about like the second part of this?
I guess kinda, right? Because I think it is not a spoiler to say the first instance we see of like a ghost or whatever is, I mean, I feel like it's pretty obvious because they're digging up the grave of the grandfather who is randomly buried. I kind of want to get into spoilers because I have a question. I'm very confused about one thing.
Okay. So let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
I turned off the movie, and I think Rolando did too. It was too scary. So there's that's no it. Was that guy intentionally buried there? Was that all intentional?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's what I figured, and I thought I saw something, but I feel like I didn't get the full explanation because I probably just missed it. But he was buried there intentionally because why?
So he was buried there because he was a murderous general who wanted to like was pillaging and killing a bunch of people, from what I understand. And then it was
a different time from our second spoiler, right?
Oh, you mean the first general? So there's two bodies. I think we should say that now that we're in spoiler. There's two bodies that are there. There's
The grandfather of the family whose ghost has been killing off the kids because he was not properly buried with the Korean feng shui rituals or whatever. So he was pissed off that they never heard his screams or whatever, even though, of course, they couldn't hear him because he was dead And I think those were the distant screams were the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So when he like was able to break out and he was like a ghost, he was killing, he killed his son first.
Yeah, they mentioned that was a general, but he was, when he died, he was buried there. But they mention that they develop a lot of resentment because they don't have like certain things or closures to spirits, and so it has like, it's not really no longer a spirit that can be reasoned with, so it just wants only access to this evil force. Yeah. Revenge thing is the way they described it. So then he goes and tries to kill all the firstborns, like he had been doing, like killing,
which again I think from what I understood they just didn't give him the, you know, put him in the right burial area for whatever reason.
Yes, they,
according to their customs or whatever, they so that's why I'm wondering, was that intentional so you would be suffering? Yes, right?
Yes, because they the people that buried him there knew about what was already below him, that evil mm-hmm. force or whatever. That kind of, they purposely buried him on top so it would stay buried.
And as a little pre-spoiler, that evil force that comes out, like our main bad, was giving me, Enter the Dragon, the Bruce Lee story vibes?
Yeah.
That thing he's battling, yeah, his head that fleshes out his,
I know,
head.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Which as a kid reminded me of Shredder. So
it all comes back to Teenage Turtles. Yeah. Our whole Asian knowledge comes from Teenage Turtle movies.
Because so, yeah, they're ninjas. They're
teenagers.
They were relatable because they were teenagers.
So it becomes kind of a mystery. Like who, what, you know, where's the second, there's a second coffin there, so it becomes like a mystery, and it, you know, old boy and his group, they try to like unravel what the mystery is, leading them to like basically explain that like this was, he was buried there because he was a he became like an evil force or something like that for, yeah, war. He was like, he considered himself like the, almost explain, saying he was like a god of war or something, like,
which, to be fair, looked like he was 8 feet tall and weighed like 400 pounds of just...
So did you think that was he was like that before? He was 8 feet tall before he was turned into some sort of, well, evil?
You gotta... I mean, he probably didn't look like that massive, right? But you gotta assume he was, only because the coffin was absurdly long.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
So my assumption is he was just this gigantic force of nature.
Right, yeah. I gotta completely agree with that. So eventually our heroes are trying to like get rid of him out of this like area and stuff like that.
Which, I mean, I don't know, just put him in that little thing the Ghostbusters use, right? Like
a... Yeah. Yeah.
Or what did I say earlier? We're Mexicans. We'd just be like, I don't know, we gotta get this full Olympia.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought it was so cool that he, when he awakes, he exits, and there's like this whole, he's like in this like whole scene where he's, it's fucking, I thought it was really scary that the younger guy wakes up and he has the monk stepping on his chest, saying like, I lost my liver, I lost my liver, I lost my liver, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And it's because he's literally getting fucking murdered, he's getting eaten as we speak, or he already died, and so he can see the ghosts and stuff. I was just like, oh my god, that's really fucked up. And
also, yeah, the first time you see the fleshed out, well, you don't even get to see it really, the fleshed out version of that general, he's talking to our main geomancer,
mm-hmm,
and she's like on the ground like fucking panicked, of course, and he tosses a head over to her.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, she's like, are you human or something along those lines, like,
yeah, and she's like, nah, I'm a servant. It's all good.
Usually.
And he's like, oh, good, give me sweet. I don't mean to make fun of that. It's just like, it sounds
Ollie specific. I've never heard that
before. Where's my sweet fish?
And so, like, that's the spirit they have to destroy. And I love the whole idea. He's like a ball of fire that's thrown, it's spinning that in the air. Cool. That was the fuck? Which, that's fucking cool.
I think I've seen that in, like, Japanese culture, books and some movies. I think you kind of sort of see it. Oh, we see it a little bit in Hasu.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, they turn into just floating heads at one point, but yeah. I'm not going to try to explain what happens in that movie.
Yeah. I don't know. What else can we say? I thought the all the rituals performed were like, I read that they were realistically done, but I also
that's what I read too.
Feel like they were, are very, the way they were portrayed were very grounded, and they all kind of made like logical sense for what they were doing. Yeah. You know, like we're doing this because of the, it's kind of a big deal to upset the dead, right? Because to dig people up. So we have to follow certain rituals and the pigs, why all the pigs were there, why we're doing this. And that, you know, like each little like thing they would perform made sense.
And I thought it was cool that pretty much every character that they bring in or like other parts of sort of mystic, like teachers or students or whatever, like the four butcher guys, I think were actual, like they knew some sort of art and the mystics also, and that's what their thing was. When they had the, what was it, the sign of something? It was like the symbol of Vermont. Not Vermont.
Vermont.
But yeah, like everybody they brought in, where she brought in the two other young ladies to help protect.
That's right, yeah.
Our assistant who gets possessed at
one point. And they do just do practical things, right? They just like they write some things down, they put it on his chest, not sure what it says, they didn't really tell us, and then they just kind of put like different things. So there's all these little like
feet too,
right? Ways of they brought a chicken, I'm sorry, a rooster that they didn't have to kill. So thankfully
we're getting close. Yeah
one of the funnier, not funnier, but like one of the more like comedic moments is the rooster being spared, and then it's in the hospital. It's a great last shot of it.
There's also when they're trying to get up to that area, which I kept forgetting. So where the guys are buried, I think it's important to note that's supposed to be like the line that separates North and South Korea, and nobody's supposed to be up there.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, there's also a lot more. Like there's foxes around, which is unheard of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
the way they protected the ground.
Outside of the world.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff. I don't know if I have capacity to explain all that in great detail.
I was going to say, I thought it was funny because before they go back for the last time to try to, they figured out, well, we can stop this like super demon samurai guy if we find the coffin and we just dump horse blood all over it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to dump this 5-gallon thing of horse blood. Where'd you get it? Don't worry about it.
I got a guy.
The store. I don't know.
Everybody got a guy. Got horse blood guy.
But when they're on their way back up to that thing, they get stopped by the border
patrol. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And they're covered in the symbols to try to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. One guy's like kind of trying to cover himself like, oh, we just need to go up there real quick and do a couple of things in the graves where he's like, all right.
Yeah.
And they're just all like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And this movie, dude, to also say this was like a huge box office hit in South Korea, too. So.
Oh, sick. I mean, I believe it. Especially like, it's such a theater
movie. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I could sit in the theater and be like, what the holy shit? Like, every 10 seconds.
Yeah. Definitely. Really. I think it is a little too long. That's be my only nitpick. I think it's a little too long. Could be shorter. I think you mentioned that in already, but like I feel that was like one of the main things. I was like, wish this was like maybe 20 minutes shorter. It would have been way better.
Oh, didn't you were you going to say something that felt very video gamey as they finally found the weapon they needed to?
That's right.
Was that
I'll go through that quickly. So they use the way you murder him is that you first need to use things in a certain order. And they first use like metal to wood and wood to fire, kind of like in order. It totally reminded me. Have you ever played the game? Was it Fire Emblem? Do you know what I'm talking about? Turn-based.
I don't think so.
Fire Emblem. Would they have like
an RPG?
Yeah, they have this weapon system where It's let's see if I can just. It's called the weapon triangle, and what it is sword beats axe, axe beats lance, lance beats sword. So it's like, that's why I thought that, like, the way he was like killing it is him understanding the order and how to destroy it, which reminded me of Fire Emblem. So,
which he needed wet wood.
Wet wood, yeah, that's right, he did. Wet wood.
I forgot that at one point. Okay, so this all kind of starts mainly because of a couple of fucking grave robbers, right, that couldn't resist and broke in and popped open the original coffin. That's kind of what sparked everything. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone back, and they wouldn't have, like, one guy accidentally kills a snake because it freaks him out, and it's, I forgot what the folklore is behind the snake with the woman's head. But yeah, that thing, the snake was basically keeping the main demon in the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
Which the snake, yeah.
That was...
I wouldn't have caught that it had a human head, like a female head.
Right.
If it hadn't turned around and gone like, I'm a snake. I'm a sneaky snake.
I was waiting for you to get it. It's up there. No, that's...
I'm a sneaky, sneaky snake. I'm like, no, don't kill it. And he's like, ah, shit.
Bah, it starts screaming.
No, viral memes, no.
Alrighty. Before we rate this, do you have any other thoughts?
No, cool fucking character demon design. This, like, feudal Japanese warlord, you know, towering, like, 8 feet, stomping around, saying, like, I am fear, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He had little, like, you see him in, like, the Japanese-style devil mask or whatever. He had the little horns.
That's on his right, head, yeah.
And, which I thought were cool, and I feel like his face was getting more fleshed out as he was out, because I feel like originally he was just looking for his mask. Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It's Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's the demon. That's the reveal. That's the spoiler.
Yeah. Alrighty. Yeah, just... I would... Yeah. Okay, well, let's just rate it, then I'll kind of give my last thought there. All right, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I would give Exuma 8.5 sexy spooky bones.
Okay, cool. I was thinking the same thing. I was going to say this is probably one of the better movies that I've seen this year so far. I would easily say this is in my top 5 easily.
Oh, for sure.
This that I've seen this year. Really good movie.
House on Sorority Row, Exuma.
Yeah. Baghead. And Exuma is definitely going to be up there for me. I really enjoyed it. I'll give it a 9.
Nice, yeah.
All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.